Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Book of Hebrews, if you would turn there, Book of Hebrews, very quickly. Let's pray. Father, God, would you bless? Help me to be concise. Help me to be in the text. I pray, God, that you'd anoint me. You'd be all over this message and you'd speak to all of our hearts. Those here in the auditorium, those watching by way of live stream, we are grateful for all the new people that are joining us. And God, we pray your blessing upon them. And God, if there's someone watching or here, not born again, we pray for their salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know how long this this coronavirus has been going on. 6 weeks, is that what it is? More than that, maybe. But it's been, I'm about ready to be out of it. And the truth is, I not only know all of the lines to John Wayne's, I not only know just John Wayne's lines in his movies, I know the bad guys as well. So, you know, you spend a little bit too much time there when that happens. But it's been a blessing. And we've seen people come to Christ. We've kind of gathered a group of people, a following, an audience that we never would have gathered. And of course, my concern is local people in this locale, in this area. But I was at a preacher's meeting on Tuesday, and it's amazing. Several old people came up to me and said, "Oh, Pastor Rader," and they kind of fall all over you and everything. "We were watching the live stream, there are needy people everywhere. God bless the Church of Jesus Christ. Oh, may God just use every church that is just kind of broadening their, extending their tent and lengthening the cords and reaching more and more people. And man, there's sinners out there for everybody. We got to reach the world for Christ. It's so important. What an opportunity. And this message this morning goes along with last Sunday morning's message. Last Sunday morning, I preached on our great high priest. Well, that's been rumbling and going, bouncing around in my head all week long. I've been talking about it with other people and other preachers. And here's the message this morning. It's this simple. And I've got a simple, 6 points. And I won't belabor any point. And it's all out of the book of Hebrews. God has not left us alone. If you're listening this morning here in the auditorium by way of live stream and you're lonely and you're wondering what's going on, what's it all about, listen, when you come to Christ, when you get born again, you need to understand this, God has not left us alone. Very first Sunday I said, this is not the tribulation. Because I'm still here. The church is still here. I know this is not one of the 21 judgments that fall upon the earth. As a matter of fact, this is not the tribulation. When hard times come, God has not left us alone. And this pandemic kind of put the squeeze on some people. And some people you've found, and we're all capable of this, don't let fear grip your heart. Don't be that one that says, "Oh my goodness, what is going on?" Listen, and we were all overly, I think, and maybe rightfully so, hyperly real concerned the first couple of weeks because the experts were telling us something. There's one expert that you and I really need to listen to. That's the expertise of the Word of God. That is it. Because there are experts right and left and in between. And they all get their few moments on the soapbox. And if you're not careful, the devil will lead us around. We want to be good citizens. And again, like I said last week, I'm not preaching rebellion, but he'll lead us around by the nose. We gotta keep our eyes on Jesus. We're gonna see that right here in the book of Hebrews. And it may get darker yet. Paul said to Timothy, "In the last days, perilous times shall come." And God has not left us alone, and it's a good thing. It isn't. Here's not how it is. And I don't believe in theistic evolution either, all right? God created, and here we are, right? And one species hasn't moved to another species. That is damnable heresies is what that is. But it isn't sink or swim, even after you get born again. Okay, you're in the family of God, glory to God. Now, here the Lord doesn't do this. Okay, here it is, there's the deep end. Sink or swim, that's not what he does. It's a good thing. I'm not a good swimmer. The Raider family is kind of, we're proficient at sinking to the bottom. We've got, in fact, my brother took scuba diving lessons years ago down in Grand Rapids. Everybody's got weight belts on. Not him. Man, he just sat in the bottom of the pool. And we're just not good swimmers. The instructor told him something about bone density. I don't know. but we're not good swimmers. And I remember on a family vacation one time. In fact, it was over in Manistique. And we stopped at a hotel, a motel on the way home. And they had a pool. And everybody's gone. And it's late at night. And my kids are little. Here we go. Let's go swimming. So we were jumping out in the pool, and I got brave, you know, and I got a beach ball, and I'm paddling around the pool, and I'm in the deep end, I'm everywhere, and you know, I got right in the middle, and a demon came along and punched that beach ball out, went up in the air. That was the longest, and just my little kids with me, that was the longest dog paddle to the side of the pool. Sink or swim, that's not what God has done for us. Some of us were in the deep end of the pool. It isn't dependent upon our own strength. Isn't dependent upon who we are, what we know. That's not what it is. What kind of, how much money we got? No, that's not it at all. God has not left us alone. You know, I preached last Sunday morning, we have a great high priest. If Jesus is your Savior, look at Hebrews and chapter 4. Hebrews in chapter 4. Verse 14, seeing then, I'm not going to re-preach the message, but I want to read it. I want to remind you, we have a great high priest. You that are born again, you're blood bought. You put your faith in the finished work of the cross. The blood has made atonement for your sin. You understand it's Jesus' righteousness. That's why you're going to heaven. Our great high priest is at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding on behalf of every single child of God. And he knows you, and he knows me. And he's been there, and he understands. That was last Sunday morning's message. And he's interceding at the right hand of the throne of God. And that's a wonderful truth. Verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Even in the midst of a pandemic, we have a great high priest. Hold fast our profession. Leave God out of your life. Don't be running around afraid of the boogeyman, scared of a little germ, and that's controlling your life. Don't let that happen. For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a great truth. The only way I can make it is if I have a high priest. I know that. We have a great high priest. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never reject you. I'll never turn my back on you. I'll never let you go. We have a great high priest. God didn't leave us alone. He's still involved in our lives. The Savior is at the right hand of the throne of God. Wonderful truth. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. 2 Peter 2:9. God is there for us. It is not sink or swim. It's follow God. Number two, there are angels. Go to Hebrews in chapter 1 and verse 14. Hebrews in chapter 1 and verse 14. Ministering spirits. Guardian angels. You say, Pastor, do you believe in guardian angels? The Bible tells us we have guardian angels. The Bible tells us and speaks to us of entertaining angels unawares. In the book of Hebrews, it says in verse 14 of chapter 1, are they not all ministering spirits? He's talking about angels. Read the previous verses. Sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation. There's an angelic realm. There is a realm that you and I cannot see with the human eye. There are battles going on all the time, spiritual battles. And I'm not playing boogeyman with this. I'm just telling you, there's the physical realm that we live in today, and there is a spiritual realm, an angelic realm. As a matter of fact, you want some Old Testament? Study Daniel in chapter 10. Daniel receives a vision from God. He's not sure what it means. God sends an angel to Daniel, but that angel is being hindered by the prince of Persia. That's a demon. That angel's being hindered by the prince of Persia from getting to Daniel. And so Michael, the archangel of might, he comes and does battle with the prince of Persia so that angel can get to Daniel. And that angel rehearses all this with Daniel. He said, I've been trying to get here for 21 days, but there's a battle going on for the souls of men. In that instance, there's a battle going on for the word of God. And Michael came to my rescue. That's what he says in Daniel chapter 10. And I'm able to get here. Now, Daniel, here's what the vision means. There's an angelic realm. There are angels that watch over you and watch over me. Some of our angels are about wore out. They're waiting for the trumpet as much as we are waiting for the trumpet. God has not left us alone. One day I'm going to meet my angel. Maybe it's a whole squadron. Or maybe you, like me, maybe there's some that have to rotate because there's so much going on. You know, but the fact is, God hasn't left us alone. We've got a great high priest. His name is Jesus. We've got angels. We are not alone. God is involved in our lives. A spiritual, and you can read it in the book of Revelation. You read it in the book of Hebrews. You read it several places in the Word of God. It's going on. It's happening. Don't think you're the whole universe. That's a mistake. Number three. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Go back to Hebrews again, chapter 4 and verse 12. God has not left us alone. We have the Word of God. We've got the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness. The virus that we have experienced is, I'm not into conspiracies. I do understand, and I am into spiritual wickedness in high places. I know there's battles going on. I understand that, and I'm thankful for. I take everything from the talking heads, from the media, from the periodicals, from the newspapers. I take everything. I'm not with a grain of salt. It's not like I'm a cynic, but kind of, you know, burn me once. Burn me 10 times, burn me 12 times. Yeah, I'm going to start figuring this out after a while. That the experts aren't really experts. They're on the right, the left, and in between. So our expertise is found in the Word of God, all right? So we have Scripture. First Peter chapter 1, 24 and 25, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God endureth forever. Let me read here in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God, given to us by God, is our guiding light. It brings comfort. It provides wisdom. It builds faith. It brings conviction. It reveals sin. It gives to us direction. It gives to us, we understand what's going on. If you're a student of the Word of God, if you're someone who studies the Bible concisely, contextually, line upon line, and precept upon precept, you're miles ahead of your neighbors. You're miles ahead of the media in knowing what is going on. You have understanding that comes from God above. So God did not leave us alone. Bless God. We have the Word of God. And for serious New Testament believers, serious New Testament born-again believers, we have a mandate. For those that are casual and just want to live their own lives and set the Bible aside, they're the sheep that are in the most danger. Still born again, but not really willing to follow the Word of God. So God hasn't left us alone. In all of this, God has not left us alone. We have a great high priest. We have ministering spirits or guardian angels. We have the Word of God. Look at Hebrews in chapter 10. Hebrews in chapter 10. You knew I was going to get to this. We have the church. Next Sunday morning, this is a commercial right now. Next Sunday morning, I'm going to preach on what God intends for the church. God intends the church to assemble. Bible word. Congregate. Bible word. I'm going to show you all kinds of things next week. In fact, it's even found here in these two verses. God did not leave us alone. The church is God's idea. It's what he intends for such a day as this, and especially the last days. There's no such thing, as much as I appreciate. Glory to God. We were able to live stream our services, and we'll continue because people are listening now that will never come to church, and we'll continue to do our best at that. But God did not attend and not intend for us to have a virtual church. Your pastor is not a hologram from heaven. You might think, and you wouldn't maybe like that because you click it off. But no, I'm here right now until God takes me home, all right? So God did not intend. Now, it's a distant second, and it's good. I'm glad it's out there. I run into radio listeners. Man, I'm glad they're listening. I'm glad people are trying to get some of the Word of God. And some of them, they go to other churches. I understand that. But God intends the ecclesia to assemble, to congregate. That is God's idea. Look what it says here in Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast our profession. Hold on. He says that again, just like he said in chapter 4. Hold on. Hold fast our profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. We can count on God. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling. I'm going to read it again. It's not even my text for next week. This is just another good verse. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Some of them do it. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received knowledge and truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. I want to say this about next week too. Next week's message is a message of encouragement. I'm not going to be chewing anybody out. That's not what it is. I want to give you some Bible truth on the church. God has not left us alone. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, Paul said there's glory, the glory of God in the church. Something happens. God's people come together. They're unified. The preacher stands up. He opens the Bible. The Holy Spirit comes down, starts to preach, starts to work in hearts, starts to stir people up. He encourages this one, and he convicts that one, and he comforts this one over here. And man, there's just something that goes on with congregational singing that you don't get live streaming. You don't get over the radio. It's something better felt than telt. You know, you might even find a lady once in a while pull out her white hanky and start waving around. I saw that, Dorothy. I don't know if you ever did that while I was preaching. I just want you to know I saw that, right? And that's a good thing, man. People say amen. It encourages the brother. Consider one another. That's what it says here in the text. No man's an island. God has not left us alone. And then there's a heavenly grandstand. Quickly go to Hebrews 12. Just turn over a page, maybe two. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The Apostle Paul says, by way of inspiration, we are surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses, the heavenly grandstand. You say, Pastor, do you think they that are in heaven know what is going on this earth? I believe with all my heart, if they choose to, they do. The Bible tells us in Luke in chapter 15, there's rejoicing in the presence of the holy angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Who's in the presence of the holy angels? The saints, our brethren that have gone on before us. They rejoice, so they know what's going on. I'll tell you something else. Yesterday, you didn't have to be in church to get saved. It's a good place to get saved, but you don't have to be in church. Yesterday, at the graveside of Anna Hill, on a beautiful day, nicest day of the year, with a warm breeze and great big pine trees, a sinner got saved. Amen. That graveside service. A lost one came to Christ. Amen. And they were shouting in heaven that day. I think, I'm sure George couldn't hold Anna back. You know, a sinner got saved at her graveside service. Glory to God. God, there's a heavenly grandstand. I believe they know what is going on. You know, just like you go to a football game or a basketball game and things get organized up in the stands. And you've been at football games. I used to use this line all the time. Hold that line. Pretty soon the whole crowd's going, hold that line. Hold that, or defense. Defense. It was just constantly going on over and over again. I was at a football game this last fall, and I was watching the game, and I'm obviously not on the sidelines where the team is, but I'm on the sidelines down the line, and I shouted out, play like men! I kept yelling at the young guys. Man, it was a crucial part of the game. Some of them were getting tired, and some of them were kind of maybe a little soft, and they were beyond themselves, and I kept yelling, play like men! And a man next to me, who I did not recognize, who used to play football for me, he said, boy, if I heard that once, I heard that 1,000 times. And it's a good message. Play like men. It is. And as children of God, man, we got to get a little backbone. We got to be a people, because there are people in the grandstands. They're what? They know the cost. They know who's in the balances. They're cheering on the church. God has not left us alone. One more thing. God didn't leave us alone. We've got the great high priest, Jesus. We've got guardian angels, ministering spirits. We've got the Word of God, the very Word of God. We've got the church of Jesus Christ. There's that heavenly grandstand where compassed above with such a great cloud of witnesses. We've got the Holy Spirit. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 5. Let me say this before I read it. For those that are a little more mature in the faith, and you know what it is to be filled with the Spirit of God, you know what it is to be under the control of the Holy Spirit, there's nothing on this earth more amazing than a Spirit-filled Christian. That's when God's taken over. It says here in verse 5, let your conversation, the way you live, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Now he ascended into heaven. How is he never leaving us? Hold that thought. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. But yet he ascended on into heaven. And then the Holy Spirit came. Third person of the Trinity. He descended, and Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Go to John. John in chapter 14. Very quickly, John in chapter 14. I'm through with the message with this point, so stay with me, please. John in chapter 14 in verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Another comforter. Jesus was a comforter. He'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Forever. Verse 26. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Now he's telling us who he is. The Paraclete, the one who comes alongside us. Whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Look at chapter 15 and verse 26. Chapter 15 and verse 26. Oh, I could read another. Oh, just go right to verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Two more verses, chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. This is Jesus speaking. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. I got to go so the Holy Spirit can come and the church can be born and the church will evangelize the world. The Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. We have the Holy Spirit of God. God has not left us alone. I have the Holy Spirit who instructs me and indwells me, and he seals me, and he teaches me, and he anoints me, and he gives me the ability, enables me so the work of God can get through. Again, there is nothing more amazing than a surrendered, Spirit-filled child of God. It's a little piece of heaven here on this earth. It's someone who's God's spokesman. It's someone who represents heaven. And God uses them many times supernaturally in touching hearts for Christ and people getting born again. Those are soul winners. You read the book of Acts, and the result of being filled with the Spirit is souls get saved. That's always the result. That's the purpose of it, to enlarge the family of God. God hasn't left us alone. We've got our great high priest, Jesus. We've got angels that minister in ways that we don't even understand or see while we're here on this earth. We've got the Bible, the Holy Word of God, Holy Writ, our instruction manual. And anybody, if you're just a casual Christian, God bless you, we'll help you. But if you're interested in being a biblicist, a fundamentalist, someone who follows Jesus, the special ops of God's army, then you're going to be in your Bible. He didn't leave us alone. It's not sink or swim. He's ordained the church. We have that heavenly grandstand. We're not alone, man. We got the Holy Spirit of God. Now it comes down to this. Are you born again? Do you know Christ as your Savior? If you're watching live stream this morning and you have never trusted Christ, you need Him now. The Bible tells us in Hebrews in chapter 2 and verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The salvation that Jesus has provided for us, it's all done. It's all finished. He went to the cross once. The book of Hebrews tells us that. One time. He rose from the dead once. Pentecost was a one-time event. The church was born in this church. He's coming back for His church. All the work of the cross has been done. The work of redemption is finished. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know what the writer of Hebrews is saying? He's saying there is no salvation outside of the great high priest. There is no salvation outside of Jesus. There's not a religion in the world that'll get you to heaven, won't even get you off the ground. There's not a philosophy. There's not a man. There's not a prophet. There's none of those, no good works. None of those will get you to heaven. You can get baptized over and over again and your skin get all wrinkled up and you end up looking like an old prune. You can do good works right and left and help little old ladies across the street and have a name in the community, but that is not salvation. Salvation is when you receive Jesus. Humble yourself as a sinner. No, you're lost and undone. You're not righteous. You're not holy. Neither am I. That's why we need the righteousness and the holiness of a Savior. His name is Jesus, who died on the cross that we might have eternal life. And the gospel message is a message of grace. All the work is done. The work is finished. And He ascended to the right hand of the throne of God. Now He ordains His church to herald the message. He's coming soon. And He's the only way to heaven. You won't get to heaven by neglecting so great salvation. You need Jesus. Let's bow our heads together. Christians praying. I'm going to pray the sinner's prayer. I'm going to invite people to Christ. If you're watching by way of live stream and you're not born again, you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, you get saved right where you are. If you'll humble your heart and repent of your sin, you've got to admit that you're a sinner and that Jesus, you recognize He's the only Savior. He's the only way. And if you'll call on Him in your heart, He will save you today. Just pray like this. You can pray out loud. You can pray silently in your heart. God's not limited. He sees your heart. And I'll say this. He wants your heart. That's what He wants. You get saved by being real before God. Not a religious act. Pray like this. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. Sinner man, sinner woman. I know I'm lost. I know I can't make it. Not without a Savior. I need Your righteousness. Thank You, Jesus, for dying on the cross in my place, for my sins, for bleeding, the blood atonement, and for rising again. And Jesus, right now, best way I know how, I'm trusting You for heaven and forgiveness of sins. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that just now, hallelujah, that's being born again. Only has to happen one time. Perhaps you're here this morning in the auditorium in this small crowd that we got. You've never received Christ. If you prayed, that's salvation. It is that simple. You don't join anything. You're adopted into the family of God. Now you got a Heavenly Father. And it's because of Jesus. Look this way for a moment. And you go to heaven, it's because of Christ's righteousness. Not your own. Christ's righteousness. And you know it. You understand it.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.